October 4th, 2020. Welcome to the Sunday worship service in your church. Yet a time is coming, and it has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here together in the presence of your word and your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, embrace us with your Holy Spirit's arms and empower us with your word, with your spirit, that we have the power and the authority by your grace to reorganize, reshape our wilderness through your life-giving word in our time and space. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Exodus chapter 16 and verse 1. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of the meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction." Verse 6. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, "At the evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your grumblings against the Lord. And who are we that you grumble against us?" Moses said, "This will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God.'" Amen. Today's message has 2 points. First point is, a wilderness is a time of sanctification. Second point is, a wilderness is a time of experiencing the covenant promises. Wilderness has the time dimension. Scientists describe the world by the dimension of time and space. Every object in space is evenly governed by the law of gravity, except when the object has the life, the living in it. That is why the seed being pulled, thrown, and being pulled by the gravity falls to the ground, but it brings out the stem upward, defying the law of gravity. In the wilderness space, this life force was introduced by the tent of tabernacle, which is a pre-embodiment of Jesus Christ, God be with us. This wilderness, this is filled with death and destruction, but by having this Jesus Christ, this life force, in the midst of their camp and was outside their camp. And there all the death force and cursed state was gone, dissipated. Within the camp, it has brought forth the sacrifice of blood to sanctify the camp. I'm talking about the tabernacle. Outside the camp, this tabernacle had manifested in the form of rock, out of which came the life-giving water. It saturates the camp with the water, with the life. Wilderness also visits us in our time dimension. Like the law of gravity in the space, every object in time tears and wears under the weight of time. Everything disintegrates in time. For example, wilderness of time displays its symptoms in all three tenses of time that we refer to often: past, future, and present. For hurtful memory from the past that haunts us is the sign of a wilderness in our time. Hopeless prospect of the future that casts a shadow over us is also the sign of a wilderness over our time dimension. And the helpless circumstance of the present that frustrates us, that also weighs on us, that also is the wilderness that has invaded in our present time dimension. But the Bible finds the real location of a wilderness not in the outer circumstance, particularly from the recordings of Exodus that we have just read. Instead of outer circumstance that we find the wilderness, Bible particularly, in the Bible finds it in the mindset that governs the collective psyche of Israelites. They filed their complaint against Moses for forced delivery in two charges in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate the bread to the full. That was their comparison, their reference point. And to charge Moses and Aaron, and they are in the like a lack of a fiduciary responsibility. The Israelites highlighted the point of comparison between the life of wilderness and of Egypt in those two factors of when. And I want to break it down to understand what is going on in here, in the particular, in the psyche of Israelites who filed the charge against Moses and Aaron. For the hour wilderness in life brought the hidden wilderness in them. It had been dormant in their thinking, and this outward wilderness, this scarcity of food, came to the surface. Two things: their enslaved identity, this identity issue, their enslaved identity given by Egyptian authority, power. And the second one is their distorted want driven by Egyptian values, the desires. The people of Israel were romantically reminiscent about the pots of meat, but whose pots were they? Israelites, they were not the owners of the pots. The pots belonged to the Egyptian, their slave holders, owners. And the Israelites, they tended the meat pots. The meat mainly went to fill the stomach of Egyptians, the slave owners, and they had leftovers. This is why they describe the experience when we sat by the pots. They didn't say when we ate the meat the fullest. Even after 400 years of slavery and working, sitting by the pots, they remained to be slaves. The second point of comparison they listed as if they were better off because they ate the bread to the full. I'll just fill in the background of their expression. Acts chapter 1 verse 11 and following provides the backdrop. So they appointed taskmasters, which means the Egyptian powers, taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor, and they built for Pharaoh storage cities, Pithom and Ramses. For 13 and 14, the Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor rigorously, and they made their lives bitter with hard labor in mortar and bricks and all kinds of labor in the field, all their labors which they rigorously imposed on them, and whose storehouses they were building. Were they Israelites? Not at all. They were Egyptians. They are pharaohs. The very people that who oppressed them. But that they didn't provide any options even to get the crumbs of the bread. And they had to work to get the crumbs of bread. And they expand the storage house. And it only made their enemies, so to speak, get richer and powerful. And they're becoming a freedom. They're becoming actually rich, becoming far from the reality. Whose house did they build? It was the Egyptians. Whose field did they labor? It was not Israelites. It was the Egyptians. All for the Egyptians, and they got the crumbs of the bread. Eating the bread, the full, is their aspiration. And their biggest want in the system is eating the bread to their full. But what they really need is the assurance of daily bread that meets their daily need. Israelites were used as dispensable tools by the ruthless system that glorifies the greed and preaches the happiness that can be only attained by owning more, spending more, and consuming more, whether it be natural or human, unnatural or human resources, but that there's no end. Just, it's something more. There's no end in it. So there is like a blurry of lines between the need and want. This wilderness, desert living actually deprived the Israelites who has been so trained, so accustomed by this like one desire to get the fullest, this want in the system that of the Egyptian style lifestyle and life's goal, they deprived them of that chance. And they vented it out, their anger against this, their future, their hope, their what they aspire for in the land of Egypt was gone. If there is one thing we all are forced to learn during this COVID-19 pandemic, is a chilling realization that how much we were driven by needless spending and consuming culture, and this collective arrogance toward the nature, how dependent we are to them. The wilderness, like COVID-19, is the time of a corrective to detox the value and the drive of Egypt. And this must be the period, is the period shaping the former slaves as to recreate themselves as the people of God, and equip them the necessary set skills and mindset who are ready to inherit the promised land of Canaan. Second point, wilderness is a time of experience the promise of God's provisions in God's by the God's covenant. While Jehovah God had provided the water from the land, He rained down the food from the heaven. This is two ways. God is recreating the new world and new earth. It is not random act of God, nor hurried reaction of God to mitigate the complaints from the people. His act, both from the land and from the heaven, is to manifest how God is consistent in keeping His promises, gradually revealing His ultimate plan of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ the Messiah, but at the same time, adequately address the ongoing need of His people, whether it is in the form of water or in the form of food, in their wilderness situation experience. God provides the means of salvation for man by their eatery. In the framework of God's covenantal relationship with man, food is the foundation, and the act of obedience and eating constitutes the building block of that relationship. And eating together, this experience is the ultimate expression of a heavenly fellowship. Eating is a very sacred matter, and the eating involves, in biblical mindset framework, it is a very serious commitment. We need to engage in the act of eating and drinking with a joyful solemnity. It almost sounds like an oxymoron, but it is not. So much so that Jesus Himself has constituted this act of eating with the Holy Communion and commands, do this act of eating and drinking as in remembrance of me. Setting up eating as a part of a covenant component began from God's covenant with Adam at the creation order, and secondly, God's covenant with Noah after the flood, and thirdly, God's covenant with Moses at the event of Exodus salvation. So God's covenant of Adam. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die.'" The first kind of food God has granted man was the plants and the produces. The plant takes its life directly from non-living materials like water, light, and soil, if you will. It is the offering of a natural world to man. To them, man is to govern as a representative of God, who is also the likeness of God in the form of God's image. As far as the nature is concerned, it is an act of obedience by nature to man to recognize man's authority that has been given from God. God had precluded single kind of fruit from a single kind of tree from the knowledge of good and evil. It is supposed to work as a safety pin, safety measure. It is a reminder that even if men consume the fruits of the trees, they don't have an inherent right over the creations. The freedom to choose was granted by God, who holds the ultimate authority. And the exception of that freedom, it is a gentle reminder that men themselves are the part of these creations, and man is not the creator. Man is a part of a creature. Man is a creature. In the desert, God provided the manna in the form, in the morning. It is a reminder that God is being consistent in keeping with the Adamic covenant by providing the plant-based food. The second kind of food, meat, from the animal life, God has granted man, it happened after the flood during the covenant making with Noah. Genesis chapter 9, verse 3 and 4 says, every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you as I gave the green plant. Only you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. Regarding this blood prohibition, the principle is the same with that of a single fruit exclusion from the plant food consumption. The purpose is to remind man that God has allowed man to consume the meat, but remind man that they do not own the life. They are not the creator of them, that over the animal. They shouldn't assume their stance over them. It was to accommodate man's desire and need, but at the same time, it requires more of a serious sacrifice on the part of fellow creatures. When we grasp this principle, it should cultivate the attitude of humility and gratitude, not the harsh and arrogant and unnecessary suffering of animals in sacrificing, making them to sacrifice for us. It also makes us responsible to live the life that are worthy of their sacrifice. That is the practical godliness we need to exercise in our daily living. And so eating is a very sacred occasion. Our eating should reflect that heart of this creator God who entrusted these natures under our care and consumption. It brings us to the point of why God gave the meat first in the evening and then meal in the morning after that evening, because it is an act of salvation. As you remember that Genesis chapter 1, that the way they get God counts is the day did not begin from the day. It was the evening and the morning, and that was the first day. It is the way of God's saving act already begun when God created the world from the beginning. It is to signify both the fulfillment of God's promise from the Noah covenant, food provision, and the extension of meat from the Passover lamb that God instructed the Israelites to eat during the faithful judgment night when the angel of death visited every household in Egypt. By giving the meat in the evening, God is affirming his promise of giving his son, Jesus Christ, as the ultimate sacrifice for the whole world, to instill this new life and to onset this new era of new life for his people. It is the statement of a resolution that God will surely save men from their state of wilderness phase and bring about the Sabbath rest and shalom peace for them. By providing the meat and the manna, God is saying to the Israelites, think how much investment I have already made for you. It's not just simply meal. It's a whole of God's being in there. Would I allow you to perish you in the desert and waste my own son's life sacrifice with it? Would I not provide means for you to not only to survive, but also to thrive, to pass through the wilderness and enter my promised land and have you inherit the land? With the same rationale, Apostle Paul exhorted the church and Christians in Rome and from the book of Romans, chapter 8, letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 32. He, which means God who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, and can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of a little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. With this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus captures what he intimately knows about his Father's heart and mind thinking for us and showed it to us. He himself is the very sacrifice to guarantee this God's heart and mind and soul to materialize for us who are in the wilderness, who will inherit the kingdom of God now in our spiritual wilderness time and space. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father God, we repent our sins. Even though you are present with us, God of covenant, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, but that we have been wasting, complaining our time, this precious time, in comparison to the Egyptian values and drives and want, and belittle God's covenant, God's promise, even including ourselves. How foolish have we become. Lord Father God, correct us. Restore the Sabbath in the midst of us. Reclaim our time in the God's timing, in God's covenant time. Oh Father God, grant us the peace. Make us render this peace with our time, and we may experience the modicum, this heavenly peace in our present. Father God, bless the hands that provides, that offer their offerings before you, and let your grace and your peace, your blessing be multiplied through their offerings, in their offerings. May the mercy of Father God, love of Jesus Christ, communion and fellowship, our loving kindness of the Holy Spirit be upon us as we impart in this peace, in this Sabbath, in our time, and also as we share this Sabbath and this peace with our time of our life, with our time of our family, with our time of friends and family, in our church, in our neighbors. Bring this peace in our country, in this world, as the whole world goes through these troublesome, ominous times. Maranatha, Maranatha, Lord, we will wait on your time. Visit upon our waste time. Amen. Amen.